I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My friend Matt Arnold's filling in for Jesse on Fridays. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Terry.
Well, you know, Matt, this is exciting. I wanted to try to do on Fridays a little different show that we normally do. And today we're going to talk on the spiritual life because we got the weekend coming up. We got Holy Mass on Sunday for everybody's Sunday Mass. And I just want to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And so that's what I want to do on Fridays. And today we're going to be talking about the St. Benedict Medal. We're going to be talking about the power of the rosary. We're going to talk about so many good things. I got St. John Paul II's quotes about the spiritual life. We've got Fulton Sheen today's quote. But before we do all of that, what do we do normally at the Terry and Jesse Show? Soul food.
That's right.
The Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew is going to read it.
Okay. And it sounds like I got a little headphone now, Richie. Thank you.
Okay, great.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is the Gospel for today's Mass.
Sure.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves, but beware of men. For they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew, that gospel, I think, applies a lot to converts to the Catholic faith. I plan to have a pre-recorded show today of a Muslim woman who converted to Catholicism just last Sunday. I actually got the opportunity to interview her right before her baptism. And her parents rejected her, obviously, and brothers and sisters. And she really went out on a limb to become a Catholic. And I know you're a convert. I'm not a convert, so I really don't have any relationship to that reading in the sense of persecution other than, oh, yeah, because I try to stand for what Christ teaches. I've been thrown out of churches. I get that. I get that. I have for speaking the truth.
Friendly fire.
Yeah, friendly fire. Yeah, there you go. But, Matt, you're a convert to the Catholic faith. Does this reading resonate with you at all?
It does. It does. And also as a dad now, and of course my children are all Catholic and everything.
Sure.
But you see that Catholicism is really at odds with the world.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And so, yeah, if you have a conversion like Teresa of Avila,
yeah,
right? She was obviously Catholic. She was, you know, a Catholic girl and raised in a Catholic home and then became a Catholic religious and then had her conversion.
Yes.
Right? You know, in the way that they would speak of it in those days. And any time that you really want to live the gospel, when you really want to stand up for what Christ is teaching and be willing to share that with other people in season and out of season, as our Lord says, you can expect to meet with resistance.
Well said. I want to bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Full Sheen ahead. And with this cause for canonization, let's keep praying.
Amen.
Can you imagine, Matthew Arnold, the effect that Fulton Sheen is going to have on the Catholic Church when he's beatified?
If it causes a renaissance of study in regard to the things that he said during his ministry, that can't help but be an incredible boon to the church because he was such a clear thinker.
Yep.
and such an eloquent speaker. And the things that he was talking about throughout the 20th century, we are dealing with the fallout of those things now. And I think just the fact that, you know, people are looking for miracles, right? He's got his first miracle.
Sure. But little baby, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that he had the gift of prophecy.
Oh, big time. I mean, the quote from yesterday's show about Islam isn't a good example. He foretold all this. So, very good. I want to give Bishop Sheen the mic now. If he was here sitting next to me, here's his quote. He says, God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. Matthew, that is a profound short statement that that goes totally against the world. And I'll give you an example of that. Vincent Lambert just passed away yesterday in France.
Right. And if you're not following the story, he's kind of the French Terry Schiavo.
That's right. The hospital starved him to death. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't give him water and food over the objection of his parents. It took about 9 days. And, you know, I want to give kudos to Pope Francis, because his role, as you know, if any vigor, is to confirm us in the faith.
Amen.
And here's what he said. Every life has value. And this was regarding the death of Vincent Lambert. And I say, thank you, Holy Father. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for as a layman, to hear from the vigor of Christ that gives a traditional affirmation of what we've always believed about human life. So I want to say kudos to Pope Francis. And also, I want to bring up another issue that talks about the value of human life. And it's just ironic that this came out just today. Matthew, there was a survey, and this survey asked 5,577 biologists.
Okay.
A profound question.
Almost 5,600 biologists.
Yes. And and you know, these guys study for years about
sure. Yeah, that's their field of expertise.
And here's the big question that was asked. When human life begins, when is it? And 96% said at conception.
Well,
yeah, I know, but I'm laughing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They got that one right, 96%? I would hope that somebody in the jungle who never had an education could realize that there's a baby inside mama at conception.
You know what's really funny is that you've got 96% of biologists saying this, but you go over to the humanities department, you find a bunch of people that don't believe in God and can't tell you. We don't know when life begins. And that always struck me as disingenuous, though, just on this
of course
topic, because, you know, people that have been advocating for abortion over the years, they often say that it's not, oh, it's just a clump of tissue. It's this, it's that, it's not a human. It's like, what do you think is growing in that woman's uterus? You know, a cabbage?
Well, Matthew,
of course it's a human being.
I believe I'm going to go further on this and
sure.
Step on where you're going. In our culture right now, we think that if we say something, it becomes real. So, right. For example,
magical thinking.
I'm now 6'6". Mm-hmm. So I must be 6'6", or I am now a woman. Do you see how that goes?
Well, and the interesting thing when you bring that up
is
that in the New Age movement for the last, you know, 100 years, you've had an awful lot of people that I call them wish and belief systems. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to, you know, and it's kind of it's secular offshoot in like the optimist movement of the 20s. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. If I continue to affirm that, it will become true. So at least they were seeing it in the potential.
Yes.
Whereas now they're saying, I'm going to affirm something that's clearly not true and expect you to accept it as though it were.
And you see, that's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, that's also a textbook definition of insanity.
Of course.
You know, and weirdly, it's the psychological community that seems to be advocating this nonsense.
Yeah.
We're glad we're living in a topsy-turvy world.
It's true, and I would just encourage all of us to reject anyone who decides that they think that their reality is what they say, and it affects not just the morality. You know what it affects also? It affects the person's attitude towards life. And
that's
so
right.
They think that life is all about them. Do you
right.
get it?
Right.
It's a selfish type of life.
Well, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
And this is probably not an appropriate story to tell on a Catholic thing, but I wasn't Catholic at the time.
Okay.
I was in a band years ago, and a guy came along who accused me of, I was accusing his girlfriend of being unfaithful with me, all right? And there was a certain amount of truth in that, although I didn't know she had a boyfriend. And we, you know, we just went out to eat. But,
sure.
The point is, though, he's very upset about this. And confronts me, and I tell him, you know, and say, hey, this is, it was unintentional and blah, blah. And I, you know, I just presented to him the thing that I'm innocent of any wrongdoing here.
Yeah.
And, but he was still very angry. Mm-hmm. So what is he, and he can't take it out on me anymore because I was making sense.
Yeah.
So I went into the restroom and like tore it to bits. He tore the stall off of the wall. He broke the urinal up. I mean, he was a strong fellow.
I take it.
And really upset. And so he wound up, you know, they carted him off to jail. And the owner of the nightclub said that man is permanently 86'd. 86 means that you're not
never
welcome.
Never can come back.
You're never to come back again. Well, a couple weeks later, I'm, you know, it's a Saturday night and I'm playing there and I see the guy in the crowd and he's waving at me and I'm like, hi, hi. You know, and I go around to the security at the front door. I said, why, what does permanently 86 mean to you? And you know what he said to me?
No, I got to hear it.
He said, oh, it's okay. He said it was cool. Okay.
Really?
So the point is that's the one guy in the world you know, who doesn't have the right to say it's cool, right? The guy who's the offender. But here we see that exact mindset. It's like, oh, I think it's okay. Therefore, it's okay to abort my baby because I've decided that it's okay.
Mixed up world.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the St. Benedict Medal and the power of the St. Benedict Medal and why you should have one. Here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero. It's a Friday. We'll be right back.
You know what?
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. It's Friday, so Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse. Matt, delighted to have you on board.
Great to be with you, Terry.
Matt, I wanted to talk about the St. Benedict Medal And I'm holding the St. Benedict medal in my right hand, in my Lebanese hand.
Yes, if you're watching on YouTube, he's holding a crucifix, but in the center of that crucifix, there is a Benedict medal.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep, there you go. So I just wanted to give some background on this Benedict medal, because really, St. Benedict, it was feast day yesterday. I wanted to talk about it, but we ran out of time, and I said, well, heck with it. I'm gonna really talk tomorrow on it.
Yeah. Because you don't have to wait a whole year. It's okay.
No. And the thing about it, most people, most Catholics included, don't realize how indebted the church, Europe, and the world is to St. Benedict. I mean, we just talked at the break of saying that he saved civilization. Matt, before I go into this, tell us.
Well, it is. You know, we were running into, it was at the time of the collapse of the Roman Empire
in the
West.
That's exactly right.
And they had been the, the people that were holding culture together. Yeah. And, you know, you have the barbarian invasions, which really, you know, I have said that what we call the barbarian invasion was more like a migration of nations. Mm. You had a whole lot of people from other cultures just migrating in and wanting their piece of the pie. And if that sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't it? Right
it
now.
It should. Because
America.
And understand that that the Roman Empire in the West collapsed because of it, because it couldn't absorb all those people. But Benedict, with the founding of the monasteries, they had centers that were protected, that where they worked and prayed and especially copied the great works of antiquity, not just the Bible, but the philosophy
and
so forth of the Greco-Roman world. And from that really emerged the European civilization.
Well said. This article is in the National Catholic Register. It's way too long to read on the radio, but I would encourage you to Google that.
Oh, yeah. You could do a whole show just on
what's
printed on the Benedict medal, much less its uses.
And you know, Matt, nearly all the monasteries hosted monastery schools for youngsters. I found that very interesting. Because many of these schools ultimately became universities.
That's right. That was the training ground for the future clergy, for one thing.
Yeah. And so St. Benedict was born in 480, died in 543. And so, as you mentioned, this is a very interesting time where the Roman Empire was collapsing. And I just want to mention that the medal was invoked against evil. His medals are considered particularly efficacious against evil. This is the medal the church used when she just had, wanted to deal with Satan and how to deal with Satan.
That's right. Well, you know, because Benedict, and it's interesting, we've just pointed out, that his movement, Western monasticism, was the foundation of the intellectual tradition of Western culture. But he's a guy that did miracles.
Big time.
and was attended by ravens and so forth that were sent to him through God's providence. And at one point, somebody was trying to poison him. And he made the sign of the cross.
That's the story.
Yeah, over the glass. And the glass shattered.
You know, Matt, I've been to the monastery twice in my lifetime. I feel honored to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. And they still have a raven in a cage honoring that raven.
I'll bet.
So it's interesting. And what you just said, the medal itself has an important prayers used in the rite of exorcism.
That's right.
So its abbreviated form is on one side of the image of Benedict on the other. Apparently, they would use this to fight the devil. And I would say today, 2019, 2020, I'm going to talk a little bit about what you can do by wearing the medal, put it in your pocket, use it as a weapon of spiritual means. So that's my take. And that story that you just mentioned is in the article. When he blessed the cup of wine that was poisoned, it shattered, and two crows who had always accompanied him carried off the poisonous bread, disposing in the place where it could not harm anyone. So now you know why they honor the raven.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So there you go. It's an interesting thing. And then, you know what? It goes on. 500 years later, Matt, in 1049, the Holy Father, Pope Leo the 14th, resigned it as a medal to be which would be attributed blessings and indulgences.
Yeah, a whole lot of them.
Saint Vincent de Paul, one of the great saints of our church, had a strong devotion to the sacramental and asked the Sisters of Charity to attach the medal to their rosary beads, which remains a common custom even to today.
That's right. Well, you know, it's interesting, Terry. I have, I have a couple of very favorite rosaries that I've taken around the world with me.
Yeah, right.
I've touched them to relics and whatnot.
Sure.
And one of them is very simple. It's wood, and but the crucifix, like this one, has a Benedict medal embedded in it. And also the rosary center is a Benedict medal. And, you know, a lot of people wear the St. Benedict medal or carry it in their pocket, like you say, but there's also a tradition of brown scapulars that have a small Benedict medal and a crucifix on them, so that you have those. And they're all what the church calls sacramentals.
That's right.
They're special ways to you know, keep your faith alive.
And that's why in the world today, Matthew, that we're living in, that we talked in the last segment of how crazy the world is, we need these sacramentals to stay focused on Jesus Christ.
That's right, and that is, and that is really their purpose.
So here's a couple ideas, and the article talks about wearing the medal around your neck, attaching it to one's rosary that you just mentioned, keep it in your pocket or purse, attach it to your keychain, affix it to one car or at home. I see them hanging in you know, cars. Placing it at the foundation of a building. I've not really seen that, but I can see why that would be, to help ward off the evil spirits there. And according to Dom Gondler, the medal is considered effective. And here's the benefit. Would you want peace and inner peace in your life and spiritual healing? The medal will give you that. Number two, asking peace between individuals and between nations and the world. Boy, do we need peace. The Benedict medal is also attributed to curing bodily afflictions, especially the protection against contagious diseases. Boy, where was the Benedict medal when AIDS was going around? Wow.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I never had anybody told me that.
Yep.
Destroying the effects of witchcraft and all other diabolical haunting influences. This medal needs to be in your home. I have it in my home, but I mean,
And like you say, we don't have the time to go into it. You really should get the article just to see everything that's on this medal. So much is inscribed on the medal. It was an important, it says 1881 on it because that was a year, it was an important anniversary, and that's when they struck the medal and all that. But there are initial letters all over it, and they represent prayers and various sayings and so forth, all of which you get the benefit of those things because of the medal. And, of course, that medal needs to be blessed by a priest for it to become to become a sacramental. It's just a thing until that blessing comes along. And that's the thing too. This isn't some kind of Catholic rabbit's foot.
No.
Okay. It is a reminder, and it is a blessed object that you know, keeps us in tune with the fact that you know, that there, we need to live our life as though there's a God. You know, I mean, to put it as its most basic. You know, it's a reminder and a channel of grace.
Well said. And, you know, that's the whole point. I know you're going to be talking about the rosary when we come back from our next break. But, Matthew, holiness and happiness go together, in my humble opinion. And having sacramentals, whether it's the Benedictine medal, the miraculous medal, scapulars, holy water, what's the goal of all these sacramentals? Our union with God.
That's right.
And that's why we carry them. And so when people tell me, oh, that's pre-Vatican II. I'm sorry. That's the spirit of Vatican II. So anybody who tells you shouldn't be wearing medals or scapulars, tell them that I'm sorry, but you're entitled to your opinion. You just happen to be wrong, and I'm going to go with what the church has always taught, the perennial teachings about sacramentals. But, Matthew, what makes me realize the Benedictine medal is so powerful is we have a show called Jesus 911, as you know, with Jesse and the boys. And they're always talking on spiritual warfare. And I would say this, that every Catholic home should have certain sacramentals in the home. Now, we talk about holy water, rosary, Benedictine medal. I would say this, we all want our wife and children to get to heaven. I think that's a fair statement. And you're listening and saying, yep, sign me up. Well, I think it's important that we take the tools that the church offers us to get closer to God. You know, because I've heard some people say, I don't need all that stuff. I just read my Bible. You know, that's all I need. No, Holy Mother of the Church, the Bride of Christ, has given us these sacramentals so that they can help us get closer to Jesus Christ and be more of an imitator of Him. And so I would just encourage you, our listener, if you don't have holy water in your home, go to Mass, and you can I get one of these little holy water fonts from a bookstore online,
mm-hmm.
and fill it with water and just go to your priest and say, Father, could you please, I want this to be holy water. We want it in our home. Would you mind please bless
and, and most parishes have either a baptismal font or they'll have a holy water dispenser.
That's
even
right.
Over the church nearest my house, there's both. They've got that, and they've got a dispenser in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel.
And we have ours in the sacristy. Yeah. And so you can always get holy water from the Sacred Heart Chapel. Why? Because here's another thing that sacramentals do, and I'll just bring this one up, blessing your children holy water. Great idea. See, these are the kinds of things that we need to bring back into our devotional life as Catholics. I think what's happened, Matt, and I'm not going to blame who, I'm just going to say what I've seen happen is we've been affected by the world where we have to ask the question, who's influencing us, our Catholic faith or the world? And if we're not using these sacramentals, I would attest to say that the world has gotten into your home. And I want to say, throw it out and bring back the sacramentals, whether it's the Benedictine medal, holy water, family rosary, which we're going to be talking in just a couple minutes, because we all are focused. Now,
I was going to say, just in regard to the home, the other thing, a real common sacramental is the crucifix.
That's right.
You know, and we have, there's a crucifix
every
in
room,
our,
baby.
That's right, in the dining room, in the living room, in all the bedrooms, in the hallway, we have a crucifix because that, you know, it's a powerful reminder of our Lord's sacrifice. That's the thing that you want to keep before you, keep, in the forefront of your mind and heart.
And last night, I encouraged everybody to come to our holy hour where we pray before the Blessed Sacrament from 7 to 9 o'clock. And I was so amazed because there were people driving 3 hours to come to pray before the Blessed Sacrament for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father. See, that, and one family came with 4 little children. And I'll make you laugh. While we were praying the rosary, the little baby was getting a little fussy.
Sure.
And Mama was going to take the baby out. And I got up and I said, Mom, please keep the baby in church. That baby prays better than I do. Keep him in here. And I say that because we have the family driving, you know, an hour and a half, this particular family, to get to the holy hour. And that, the graces that are being received from that father and mother bringing the children before our Eucharistic King were just outstanding. And they edified me as an old man to see a young family there.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing.
Matt, what are we going to talk about when we come back?
We're going to talk about the Holy Rosary, and I guess you're going to ask me about the role it's played in my life, which is
absolutely
a very, very large one.
You won't want to miss this. I love having Matt. I've only heard it 1,000 times. I want to hear it again. Get yourself a cup of coffee because you're going to need it. This is going to fire you up about the power of the Holy Rosary on Virgin Most Powerful Radio here at the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry Barber, back with Matthew Arnold, and I'm delighted to be with you. And before Matthew gives his little story about how the rosary changed his life and why it's important to be praying the rosary, I just have to thank all of you listeners. I just sent an email out, Matthew, that said I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with all the things we've done over the 40 years. And then I asked if you could become a monthly donor, and people have called me on my cell phone, which is 661-972-7872. And
you are crazy.
I am crazy. And I talk to people. I'm getting texts and phone calls all during the show. I love it because, you know what? I only have so many breaths of air. Because I'm at 62 years of age, and for 40 years I've been doing this, and you know there's going to come a time when God calls me home also, and I just want to be a good steward of my time and sharing the good news. So I want to thank you, and if you haven't had a chance to make a donation and you would like to, you can go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call me, or call the toll-free number, 877-526-2151. Matthew Arnold, tell us about your story as a non-Catholic, actually, how the rosary touched your life, please.
Well, I really think that it's the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and my beloved wife, and really through the rosary as well, that I'm Catholic today. I mean, I'm Catholic for the same reason everybody is Catholic, in the sense that I was granted the gift of faith by, you know, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. But how did that come about? Why, you know, how was I open to receiving that when I'd gone, you know, for 30-some years without?
Right.
And the answer is that I went to RCIA because out of duty, I was married in the Catholic Church and promised to raise the kids Catholic. And when our little son was 3 years old, he had a question about the Eucharist, as it turns out. And I realized you can't give what you don't have. So Betty convinced me that I should go to RCIA and at least learn what the Catholic Church teaches. And when I got there, it was I've told this story many times. The priest was teaching the class, and he was the perfect storm for me because he had been a Catholic and kind of fallen away and then reverted very powerfully and felt the call to the priesthood and, and went to Rome to study. He graduated summa cum laude from the Gregorian University.
Wow.
With licentiate in sacred scripture, and then comes back to some little parish in Orange County, you know, to teach RCIA, because that's apparently how the Holy Spirit works. And I was there at that first day, and you know what it's like. You go around the room, who are you, why are you here? And people are saying, well, I never got confirmed, or I'm getting married in the church, or whatever. Came around to me, and I said, you know, I have no intention of becoming Catholic. I'm just here to find out what you people believe.
That's,
you know,
funny.
Because I promised I would.
Yeah.
And the priest, yeah, he said, I don't think, you know, there's enough in a year. You can't possibly teach everything there is to know about Catholicism, you know, by meeting together once a week for 8 months or whatever it was.
Of course not.
And he said, so, you know, he invoked the Holy Spirit. He says, we're going to pray the rosary together on our knees, kneeling.
What?
Okay? And that's how we were going to start every class. We're just going to sacrifice the first 15, 20 minutes of every class to pray the rosary.
Wow.
With the intention that, you know, Mother of God would pray to her most holy spouse, the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts and minds to the truth. And about 6 weeks in, you know, I had the conversion experience. You know, it's intellectual linchpin was apostolic succession.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
you know, authority.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because my prior experience with Christianity had been Protestant, and I was not convinced by the Bible
alone. Weren't impressed, huh?
Argument,
yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, you found a book and you made up a religion on it? That's awesome. You know, it's like, what if I write a book? You know, make up a religion on that too? You know, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, I get it.
They kind of have to ignore a lot of Christian history to avoid being Catholic. And as a result, when, you know, when I learned about the apostolic succession, that Jesus founded the church and the church gave us the Bible, I was like, oh, that makes sense. And then in that moment, suddenly I was just, you know, overwhelmed with the truth that there's a personal God, and that personal God actually cares about me.
That's powerful.
Oh, yeah. It was literally life-changing. And it was entirely because of the intercession of the Blessed Virgin.
And, you know, that ties right into what Bishop Sheen said. God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. And I think the rosary, and this is my assessment of listening to your story once or twice, that you were connecting with God's love for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. And, you know, when you think about it, you think about the most, and I talk about this all the time, mm-hmm. but magisterially, mm-hmm. if that's a word,
yes.
speaking,
mm-hmm.
the rosary, I mean, the church, a whole long line of popes and official documents and so forth, have set forth the truth that after the liturgy, after Holy Mass and the Divine Office, the best and most efficacious prayer that Catholics can recite in common
yep.
is the Holy Rosary.
And the reason for that, and I'll just give you my take, I'm kind of interrupting you, but
well, right.
I love your story. And that is, it is a short gospel. In other words,
absolutely.
The mysteries of the rosary that we're meditating on are taken right from the life of Jesus Christ.
That's correct. How do you, well, and that's the thing. There are three things that kind of need to be overcome in religion. Because Jesus gave us this perfect religion. It's like, here's, you want to be happy now and happy forever? Here's how.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to make it possible for you. But, you know, it becomes useless for so many people. It's as though God never came, because either they forget, and it is the doom of men that they forget. That's why history keeps repeating itself. Or they didn't understand in the first place his love and his goodness. You know, a lot of people think, oh, God's just, you know,
yeah.
he's waiting to crush me like an ant, you know,
yeah.
kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or and the third thing is just, you know, the world of flesh and the devil. We're weak and we fall away.
Yeah.
And the Holy Rosary is just designed to answer all those things, because, as you say, keeping the truth of the gospel before you all the time, and in union with the person that knew Christ best.
Yes, there you go. That's a
you know
right there.
And it's suited to everybody. Many of the greatest saints loved to think about and ponder the mysteries of the gospel and pray the rosary. And the more they grasped their divine meaning, the more they thought about it, the greater their love for Christ. You know, it's like a circle that it could perpetuate itself.
I noticed many of the saints, always like Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I saw her personally when I recorded her many times, and she always had a rosary in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be praying the rosary while she's sitting down, waiting for something. She was just, you could see her, you know, with her fingers going over the beads,
mm-hmm.
always being living in that presence of God.
Right, Padre Pio, same way.
Same thing.
Always had a rosary on it.
Matt, let me ask you this, because it ties into mom and dad listening. How did you connect the rosary, now that you're married, you're a Catholic, as the father of the home, the family rosary?
Well, okay. That, you know, the rosary was important to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it became a huge part of my life, as you might imagine. And Betty and I would pray the rosary together. Now, we already had one child when I came
yes.
to the church, little Macklin,
yeah.
but yeah, and he was still a toddler, but we would put him to bed and then pray the rosary. And then more kids come and they start getting older and
that
so
works.
Forth. And we decided, well, we should incorporate the children.
Of course.
Into this. And, you know, Macklin and Mary Grace, my two oldest, were old enough to, you know, to lead a decade. And I thought, well, that's what we'll do. You know, we'll share it around. See,
yeah.
I'll lead a decade and Betty will lead a decade and these guys will. And, you know, the little ones will be there. And it was just a train wreck. It was, you know, you know what it's like.
Of course, I did it with my
kids. He got to do it last time. It's like, how come I always have to do the third joyful mystery or whatever it is, you know? And one night, and I'm going, it's like, you know, and it is that like the dad in the car, shut up or we ain't going, right?
Right.
It's
like,
it's,
yeah.
And I'm getting, and I think to myself, how are we getting sanctified if I'm here hollering at my children?
Exactly.
You know? And I pulled the dad card and I just said, you know what? Dad leads the rosary.
Yeah.
That's it. We're gonna sit down every night before bedtime. We're gonna gather in the living room. We're gonna turn out lights and stuff.
Yep.
Right, and that's important in this life. You know, you find yourself at 3 o'clock in the morning on a computer because your body never shut off, because we've lost the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
you know?
Well said.
So turn stuff down. And people say to me, well, don't your kids just fall asleep during the rosary? And I'm like, wow, you must not have a lot of kids. Because I tell you right now, I would much rather carry a sleeping child to bed than drag one kicking and screaming.
That's for sure. Me too.
No problem there. But it really became an important part. And we continue the practice to this day.
Yeah.
And sometimes we fall down and, you know, but sure. but we'll pray. I mean, the kids, they won't go to bed until we've prayed a decade of the rosary at least.
I wanted to add one other element to the rosary that I found from experience of raising my kids, that after the rosary in the evening, like you, I would do an examination of conscience publicly. I'd ask the kids to go through the commandments in their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And now when they were really young, I would give them examples of examining their life. Mm-hmm. How were you nice to your mommy? Did you obey mommy and daddy? Did you know, there's things like that.
Oh, sure.
But one thing that I did is after the examination of conscience, the family would lead and pray the act of contrition together. Because we were all sinners. That was the message. Mm-hmm. Even mommy mm-hmm. and daddy have do this, and we ask God for forgiveness when we failed.
Right.
And then the one thing that I added, and I would encourage you, mom and dad, to do this, and I didn't do this at first. It took me a while. I wanted to go around to the kids and ask them, what do you want to thank Jesus today for? So I have an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to thank Jesus today that I did well on my math test.
Right, or whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be. And
some
kids,
good thing.
And
yeah.
some of the things they would come up when they're little, you would have a hard time laughing. You'd want to be laughing.
Yeah.
But you keep that serious look on your face.
You know, a couple of months ago, I was in Steubenville giving a talk there, and I stayed with the Hans.
Yes.
And their kids are, you know, I mean, I've still got kids at home. The two middle kids are in college.
Yeah.
And working and stuff, so sure. I don't see them all that much.
Yeah, I guess
but
not.
But when they're home, they're there at prayer time. Yeah. And I've got the two younger ones who are teenagers now. But I went to Scott's house. Everybody's out of the house, right?
Yeah.
It's the empty nest. So we sat down at the dinner table. It was just three of us.
Wow.
And I can remember having been there years before with all the little kids and the kid in a high chair. And,
of course. You know,
and all the pandemonium. And he had that custom of going around the table, what's one good thing?
He did that.
And he did that. And you know what? They did it with me when I was there. Just the three of us on the table. What's the one good thing that happened to you today?
That's funny. Yeah, I don't remember. I guess I did speak. In the early days, I did talk a lot with Scott about family life. So maybe that's where I got it from. Possibly.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah, one way or another. When we come back, I want to talk about St. John Paul II's quotes that are really profound that help us fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. This is Inspirational Friday to help you get fired up about your Catholic faith and share it with one another. We'll be back with much more. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I wish you could have been here during the break. We're having a great time. And we're having a great time with you, our listener. And absolutely. I want to thank you for allowing Matthew, myself, Jesse, and the whole crew do what we do, and that is proclaim Jesus Christ with clarity and charity here at Virgin Most Powerful.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of which, I've got a show that comes on right after this one. So if you're listening live, stay tuned.
Exactly.
Because it's not going to stop now.
That's
I'm going to be talking about the secret of obedience, okay, the virtue of obedience. And what does that mean for us today? I mean, because we're in some pretty interesting times.
Oh, yeah, rough waters.
And you know what? Obedience didn't stop being a virtue.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that.
Well, Matt, let's cover what St. John Paul II's quotes that are profound that we can apply. Take one of these quotes and think about it the weekend. Number one quote, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought. I remember him saying that in 1979 in Baltimore, Maryland, at the baseball stadium. And I remember people saying, huh?
Yeah.
I remember that saying, what do you mean that's not freedom? I thought freedom was that we should just pick what we want to do.
Yeah.
Well, what he's saying, and I'll let you give your take on this. My take on it is that we have a moral obligation to choose truth, okay,
amen.
And not an over error.
Yeah, and there should be nothing to impede that.
That's right. What's your take on that?
Well, and that is in what freedom consists. When people talk about I need to be free in the context of meaning I need to be able to do whatever I want, that's not freedom. That's license.
That's license. Bishop Sheen said that.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. It's the philosophical distinction and an important one. That doing whatever you want isn't freedom. And in fact, doing whatever you want quite quickly leads to the slavery of vice. It becomes habitual sin. You know, doing whatever you want. It's like people say, oh, follow your bliss if you want to be. That's terrible advice.
I've heard that all my life, too.
Yeah.
I have.
Because, you know, the stuff that gives me pleasure is not necessarily the stuff that's going to make me happy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Well, give an example. Abuses of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, well, it's got to be right up at the top of the list, right? And then sex right neck
right,
and neck.
Right there, yep. Here's another quote. It is the duty of every man to uphold the dignity of every woman. I used to have a shirt that said that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
story. Bought it at the family conference in Wichita. As a matter of fact, folks, in a couple of weeks, I'll be in Wichita, Kansas. We got about 5,500 people registered. Let's see, Steve Ray will be there. You've been there.
And I've spoken there a couple of times. And sure. I'll tell you, what a great event.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I loved the Southern California Catholic Family Conference when that was still a going concern out here. And I'm glad that they've kept it up.
20 years.
In Wichita. Totally. But, you know, if you've never been to one of those, I'm not going to tell you to dash your vacation plans because you may have already made them. But next year, plan to go to Wichita because it could change your life.
And just go to Midwest Catholic Family Conference on Google and it'll have all the information. Our 20th year, I go there every year. I think last year I was in Ireland, so I missed it. So out of 20 years, I've been there 19 of them. I want to give another quote about the Holy Father, what I said about the duty of every man upholds the dignity of every woman.
Right.
Matthew, that statement he said was right at the time when he became the Holy Father, and he was talking about women to not being abused. As a matter of fact, similar, not far after he said that, he told you and me and all married men not to lust after their wives.
Right.
And everybody said, what? How's he?
Oh, I know. Once again, you've got that people in our culture can't make distinctions.
They can't.
You know, because, lust is a sin.
Exactly.
It's always to lust is to treat someone like a something.
Object.
Yeah, right. To treat your spouse like an object instead of a person is a terrible thing and a sin. And he's right. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't love your wife or you shouldn't be attracted to your wife physically. You know, that would be absurd. And the Pope, John Paul II, did a lot of things, but he was rarely absurd.
Yeah, that's true.
Put it that way.
Here's an interesting quote to think about. Do not be afraid. Do not be satisfied with mediocrity. Mm. Put out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. You know, Matt, that's what we're doing at Virgin Most Powerful. I'll just give a quick story. We got kicked off.
I got something to say about this. You go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Just bottom line, we got moved off a radio station. We had to start our own. And now we're casting our nets in a wider range. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Last Sunday, and I don't know, I was at the Extraordinary Forum.
Oh, yeah.
The gospel was the Great Catch of Fish. The
yes.
Great Catch of Fish from Luke's version.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me that, you know, you've been fishing.
I have.
I did a lot of fishing growing up. My dad was very much into that. Mostly freshwater, but we went on the ocean as well a few times. But I fished with a bait and a hook, right?
Yep.
Not with a net. And there's really a difference. And I think that we're showing that difference because an awful lot of Catholic media and Seven, nothing against anybody, but they're trying to catch men with a bait and a hook. They're trying to say, oh, look, you know, it's like the youth stuff. We got to make it relevant for the kids. It's like, no, you have to throw the net out. You have to give them the gospel and have them be caught up in it. You don't bait the hook. You don't tell them, oh, here, look at something else. And when they get there, switch it. You know?
Switch and bait. Yep.
Yeah, bait and switch is fundamentally dishonest.
That's right.
Better by far to give the gospel with clarity and charity.
Absolutely.
And bring people into the...
And it's funny you should mention that because the next quote says, this is no time to be ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
It is a time to preach it from the rooftops. Do not be afraid to break out of comfortable and routine modes of living in order to take up the challenge of making Christ known in the modern cities.
Yeah.
Matthew, that is a mission statement for all of us. We are called to share the faith with everyone we meet. And now people ask that question, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to make a shameful plug. My book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. If you haven't been taught how to give your personal testimony, I have a whole chapter on that. This book is really practical with wonderful stories of how to share your faith. And I want to encourage you, you can get that by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or calling 877-526-2151. It'll give you the confidence to share your faith because most Catholics, Matt, I've found, they feel like, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, just one simple thing.
Yeah.
And talking about this,
sure.
All of these remarks coming together,
yeah.
Is the name of our good Lord Jesus Christ. How many people, you say the word Jesus in a room full of mixed company, it makes everybody nervous.
Of course.
And it's weird, if you say the name Jesus in a room full of Christians, it makes everybody nervous. You know, we really, as Catholics especially, we've got to get, we have a great veneration for the Holy Name. There's a great devotion to the Holy Name, but we must not be afraid of invoking the Holy Name.
Well said.
You know, when Catholic prelates can stand up and give a talk and never once mention our Lord Jesus by name, something's wrong.
Well said. I want to give you a couple tips for the morning when you wake up tomorrow. And it's taken right out of the Psalm 118. It says, rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has been given to us. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I say that's the attitude of gratitude. You notice I didn't give you, I'm going to make this day the best ever. Okay. That's great. Go ahead and do that. But realize that biblically, this is the day. There's no guarantee Matt or Terry's going to be awake tomorrow here
That's
in
right.
this world.
That's right.
So attitude of gratitude is welcome just about everywhere. Here's another good principle that it's easy to say, hard to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Say nice things and learn to listen. God gave us two ears, one mouth, so we must have meant for us to do twice as much listening as talking. He who guards his lips guards his soul. Again, Proverbs 13. Mm-hmm. These are biblical teachings, not self-help, you know, gurus.
Right, yeah. This isn't just a power of positive thinking here.
And I love this one. It fits right into John Paul II. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand for something you will, if you don't stand for something, or you will fall for anything.
Chesterton. Right?
Yes, Chesterton said that. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good. This is right from the Bible, Galatians chapter 6. Matt, I'm going to give one more, and then I want to turn it to you and then finish with what the Father John Carapi has told us many times when he was power preaching. But I want to say this, your prayers, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Where'd that come from? Philippians chapter 4.
Wow.
So there's some...
It's right out of the Bible.
It's right out of the Bible. This is not Terry Barber giving you his self-help guru. This is the biblical teachings. And I just want to say, if God had a refrigerator, Matt, your picture would be on it. And you, our listener, would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and sunrise every morning. And when you walk to, whenever you walk to talk, he listens. He could live everywhere in the universe, but he chose to live in your heart through baptism. Mm. What about the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, not to mention the Friday on Calvary? Face it, Jesus Christ is in love with you, and he's waiting for your response.
Amen.
Yeah, let's turn it to you.
Yep, that's beautiful. That's the thing. Ultimately, and it's interesting because I think we have a tendency to think of this as a Protestant idea, the whole personal relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But that is entirely the point of the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. That's entirely the point of our Lord's life and death and resurrection. He came here to restore the relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. It's entirely about having a relationship, and one that is close and one that is personal. And you're going to find that throughout the writings of the saints. You're going to find that throughout the church, especially, I think, in medieval England. They made a great strides forwards in this understanding of our relationship with God being not only personal but intimate.
Well said. I just want to remind you that no matter what political power party is in power at any given point in time, in the end, those who remain faithful to Jesus Christ win the war, right?
That's right.
We may have to fight many battles. We're outnumbered, even despised and looked upon, as the gospel said today, as outcasts by a society that's unrevealing and degenerating into something one could not even imagine. So what matters is we run the race to the finish line and fight the good fight. Don't go with the flow, as the great Archbishop Sheen reminds us. Dead bodies float downstream, folks. Matthew, before we end, I always like to ask you a question, and I asked Jesse this question. What state should we be living in, brother?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
And what state shouldn't we be living in, even for a second?
We should not be living in a state of mortal sin.
And if you have a mortal sin on your soul right now, go to confession, because that confession will give you sanctifying grace.
Something struck me the other day, and I know, and this is something I've known for years and years, but it really hit home, that when you sin, it's not just you and God. When you sin, you wound the body of Christ.
Right.
And when you go to confession, you heal that wound. And if you can heal the wound of Christ, wouldn't you want to do that?
You bet. Up next, Matt Arnold. We'll be back with more.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Almighty Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.